Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Sylvia Hart-Fried. Thank you so much for coming. You know, many of our listeners couldn't go and have the expertise of someone of your caliber help them on a personal level, but they can listen to this show and get all this wonderful advice and knowledge. Before we talk about your book, The Digital Invasion, and that's going to be the title of the show, The Digital Invasion, because it's truly invading our lives. We can't prevent it in some respects. But just tell us how you came to be, or how this became a passion of yours.
Well, thank you, first of all, Dr. Rose, for having me on your show. Yes, it was a very personal passion, as my teenage son was very digitally addicted, especially to video gaming. And as I started doing the research for the book, I just had this real awakening moment of, wow, this was happening in my own house, and I really wasn't even aware of it. So I became very passionate to find ways that I could help him to disengage from his digital technology and to plug into real life. And I really had to look at my own life, that I wasn't really modeling good digital management myself, that I was sitting on my laptop till all hours of the night, and the kids would come and say, look, Mom's digitally invaded. And so that's kind of where the digital invasion came from. It can happen to anyone.
It can. You know, I was listening to the book on Steve Jobs, his autobiography. And he came from that hippie era and LSD, and he really loved the psychedelic. He loved the psychedelic experiences from the hallucinations and stuff from getting high. And he wanted to give that same wonderful experience in the products that he developed.
Wow.
And it really, the dots really connected for me.
Wow.
That, wow, we have something here that's causing brain to change. You know, maybe not brain damage, but it's causing it to change. So I think your message is so timely. So let's start at the very beginning. Well, first of all, if you'd like to check it out, even as you're listening to the show, you can go to digitalinvasion.com. That's your website. And you've also written a book. One of the persons who endorsed it said, finally, a powerful, well-researched book that helps us grapple with and respond to the digital tsunami that has swept over us. And it has really swept over us.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the little child that is fussing or whatever, and what are they given to calm them? But, you know, someone's little iPhone with games on them. I mean, so how is digital technology rewiring our brains and changing us?
Right. Well, basically, it's wiring our brains for distraction. And so we have so many different stimulus coming at us, and all the multitasking that really the digital world produces, and the high adrenaline, especially our kids with the video gaming. And so our brains are being rewired, and what that's doing is it's overloading our brains. And when our brains get overloaded, they reduce their function, and especially in what's called our prefrontal cortex area. And that's so important, because that's the area that helps us with self-regulation, with developing good empathy. And so you can see, as children, how that can really impact them. And I saw this with my son, where I would say, you know, oh, this happened to so-and-so. And he kind of acted like, well, okay. And I started thinking, wow, as I did the research, this is true. I'm seeing it in my own son and how it's impacting his self-control and even his empathy.
Wow. I wouldn't think of empathy. But I suppose, you know, just as when you're high on any drug, what happens is you don't really care about anybody else.
Absolutely.
It's pretty sad. So then this leads to how it affects the relationships in the family, attachments, detachment.
Right.
So tell us about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, as a counselor, we know that we need to healthy attachments, what we call a safe attachment with our children mm-hmm. and with those primary people in our life. So how this affects our attachments is to have a safe attachment, someone needs to feel seen and valued and heard. And so what's happening is as we as parents are spending so much time in our digital world, we are distracted. We're our kids are running around and doing things. Look at mommy, look at daddy, look what I can do, look what's happening. And so many times, that's nice, honey. That's great. We're not having that eye contact that's so important. We call that mirroring, to look into a mm-hmm. person's face, and we mirror back to our child a smile, mm-hmm. an affirmation, and that's so important. And it's a big piece that we really need to stress is being lost in this mm-hmm. digital time. And we've got to really be intentional to be aware of how that's going to impact how they attach. And I know I, as a counselor, sit with people with bad attachment styles
yes.
day after day, helping them to heal from that.
And that could be any, I mean, the attachment or detachment, it can be caused by a number of things, but almost always behind it is some type of addictive or high-risk behavior. Is that
right.
being your...
Right, yes. And the distraction of, especially in our digital world, that we're not paying attention. We're not being mindful of being with the person in the present because we're always somewhere else or distracted.
Distracted. You know, I hadn't really thought of it like that. I had thought of how it impacts what is the dopamine and the different
yes.
chemicals mm-hmm. and that it you become addicted to that high
sure.
or that adrenaline that's, you know, rushing through your body as you're in this virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
But what about just, you know, communicating with other people, texting and things like that? You know, is there harm in that to your children or your other relationships?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the texting, the Facebook posts, those are fine for, you know, quick little sound bites, but you can't really have conversations. You know, if we were to add up all our texts and tweets and posts, I mean, do they even really add up to
yes.
a really good conversation? But we can't have intimacy without conversations. And these connections, we need to see them as for what they are. Like, I connect with my kids through texts. Hey, how are you doing today? What's going on? But I can't have a relationship with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to just, that's filler, you know, that's a side dish, but I've
mm-hmm.
got to have, you know, where we're looking at each other face to face, or at least on the phone,
mm-hmm.
hearing a voice and being able to have that face to face. And it can't be in these little sound bites.
Now, when do you think this invasion really started? I mean, an invasion has to start somewhere.
Right. Well, you know, we called it that, that it's really been an invasion like an ant colony. You know, it wasn't like an atom bomb. We would have noticed that. And that's what I really found with my own personal situation, was waking up one day going, how did I get here? How did I not see this coming? And, you know, it really gets back to, I guess we could say, you know, the advent of the internet. But really, you know, as the texting came, as the gaming, you know, and that's really only been in the last, you know, 10 years. So it hasn't been very long. But it really did sort of sneak up with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the producers of all of these products really, you know, have not been real great about giving us, you know, warning labels and giving us instruction manuals. And so I think for most of us, we saw all the benefits
mm-hmm.
and didn't see the destructive part. And we're kind of, you know, most people say we don't want to be alarmists. We do want to be alarmists and say, you know, you need to be aware that this can be damaging to your health, your wellness, your relationships.
On the extreme end of the spectrum, how damaging can it be?
Right. So we're seeing internet addiction disorder. It'll be in the DSM-5, which is basically we call the Bible of psychology, and we use that for diagnosis, and that just came out last month. And so internet addiction is considered the most common and fastest-growing addiction of our time. And it really is a problem, and one of the reasons is because of the easy access. Most of us have a phone mm-hmm. or a smartphone in our pockets. As with drugs, other addictions, you have to actually go out and pursue it. But here you've got something that's with you 24/7, and you've really got to regulate this. So one of the ways they define internet addiction is spending more than 38 hours a week online. Well, research are telling us most of us are spending more than 38 hours a week online. So really, for these signs, most of us have at least a few of them already, which are spending more time than you need to be, feeling anxious when you can't get to your phone, you can't answer your email, your text. Most of us feel those. So we have different, mm-hmm. you know, levels of it, but most of us have some type of addiction if we're honest.
So you're putting, you know, you're putting internet addiction. It could be, of course, the phone, but it could be shopping online. I mean, we've tended to just say, ooh, the big one, you know, pornography. Mm-hmm. But you're saying internet addiction encompasses the whole gamut of whatever we do online.
Absolutely. Yes, that can be shopping. We're seeing a real rise in gambling online because it's so easily accessible for people to gamble online. And what a lot of people do is take an addiction, like say you have a shopping addiction, now it becomes an online shopping addiction, or a gaming, you know, mm-hmm. going to casinos, now it's online. So it's made it so much easier and accessible for people to have those addictions. And really the biggest part we're concerned about is the everyday addictions of the texting that we're all doing, the applications that we all use that are being overused mm-hmm. and abused.
Yes. Wow. This is serious information that many families don't even realize they're slipping down that slippery slope. Yeah. They're modeling for their children, or they're allowing their children, thinking, you know, this is a great educational tool.
Right.
And, well, I'm going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about all these online schools and how it can be contributing to internet addiction. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Education Currents. Be sure and like us on our Education Currents Facebook page and consider joining MRG Media in this radio ministry. You can call us anytime at 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why do people steal even though they're rich and can afford stuff?
Well, for a number of reasons. First, some think it's exciting to take what doesn't belong to them. They like the thrill of seeing if they can outsmart the law or their neighbor or the store security guards. Some steal because they think the world owes them. If they can't get what they want through the usual lawful means, they simply rip it off. Some rich people steal because that's how they obtain their wealth, and they don't want or know how to stop. Stealing has become a habit. Or the thief might be angry at someone or some company, so he or she takes revenge by pilfering items owned by that person or business. Thieves are looking for something that's missing in their lives. Whether they're rich or poor, ripping off people will never fill the void in their heart. You know better. You know where to find true happiness. Listen to what Isaiah says. I delight greatly in the Lord, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns her head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isaiah 61:10, NIV.
And it's all legal.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Sylvia Hart-Fried. She is the co-author of The Digital Invasion. And I think every one of us need to pause and stop and think, you know, we're being invaded. It's invading everywhere. And I had promised listeners that we'd talk specifically about your take on online schooling. And the reason that this is so important is a lot of homeschool families do online schooling.
Sure, and I've done it. So I'm a good one to speak to
that. Yes, I have too.
Right. So yeah, my son did online. And I think it is, you know, there's so many benefits to online and to be able to do schooling through the internet. I think for those that do homeschool, as I did myself, that their children are online for extended periods of time, they're going to have to be really intentional to have that break of this is when we're offline and this is when we're going to get out in real life. And I had to do that with my son to say, you know what, let's take a walk. We have what's called NDD, nature deficit disorder today.
Yes.
Get out in nature, feel that sun on your mm-hmm. face, you know, feel that breeze. And it's going to take, you know, an effort really for the mm-hmm. parent to help them to practice that digital wellness. It's not impossible, but I think it is more challenging. But remember, most schools now are bringing in iPads where the child sits on an electronic product all day, even though they're with other kids and in a classroom setting.
Yes, it's called computer-enhanced instruction. Right. And I just was, you know, faced with the question, why aren't you going to do this for all of the subjects? And I said, I don't want the students in front of a computer all day long.
Right.
I'll do two subjects. Right. Two subjects, but I want all the others to be traditional.
Right. You know, as wonderful as the internet is, as our technology is, you know, nothing takes the place of our real life in this world, this amazing world that God's made, and relationships with real life human beings, and to really get into real life as much as you can is really a clarion call.
I want to spend I want to make sure I've gotten everything covered about your book. So if I forget something, I'm going to actually use the book to help me through the last questions, and that is just looking at the problem and looking at a solution so mm-hmm. that we're giving the parents, you know, what the dilemma is and then what the solution is. So we can just start with the idea that technology is rewiring the brain. And you mentioned a number of systems in the brain that are being affected by this. Would mm-hmm. you just share that with our listeners?
Sure. So the first system that is affecting the brain is our pleasure system. And this is so important because we're having a lot of what's called now is anhedonia, which is actually a diagnosable disorder, which is people not being able to find pleasure in just mm-hmm. ordinary things. For example, the NDD, mm-hmm. the nature deficit disorder, where just watching a sunrise or a sunset just doesn't, oh, well, that doesn't do any good. I've got, you know, all these other multitasking things. My game's mm-hmm. more exciting. My texts are more exciting. So that's how it's impacting our brain's pleasure system. And then our brain has what's called a tranquility system. And that's what God has given for us to have our peace and our rest. And again, the digital world is wired for distraction. It's really important that we know that in that distraction, it's really impacting our peace and our rest mm-hmm. that we need. And then our system three is the brain's memory system. And it's very interesting because we have something that's called the Google effect now, which is making people the brain is not remembering things because it's saying, you know what, I can find this on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers are even finding that, you know, kids are coming and saying, just tell me what's on the test so I can just study for that. And so my brain doesn't have to remember all mm-hmm. these other facts. And then the fourth system is the brain's learning system, and that's a big thing that we cover in the book, and that is the myth of multitasking, that our brain really works best when it's doing one thing at a time, and it masters that. Mm-hmm. We call it multi-sequencing. Do that, do it well, then go to the next mm-hmm. thing, and really as as educators, as parent educators, mm-hmm. helping your children to be able to master that is really the true sign of genius. When you can master mm-hmm. just doing one thing at a time and fighting all those other distractions, you will really in life have an edge over the people that are just doing a lot of things and really are not learning, because our brains don't learn well in a multitasking
yes,
environment.
That's absolutely correct. So we've talked about a number of problems. I don't want to leave my listeners without helping them prevent.
Yeah. Right.
So just a couple of steps.
Absolutely.
Or a couple of strategies that we can
yes.
conclude
yes.
the show with.
Well, the best things that parents can do is to establish a digital wellness program, and that starts with building trust with your children through communicating. You know, as you've listened to this program, to say, you know, I listened to someone today, and all that digital use and the technology and the multitasking, you know, that's rewiring your brain, and I want what's best for you, and I want to really see you not waste your real life on a virtual life. So communicating that to them so they build that trust, and then really keeping informed about the digital world. Research shows us that the number one fear parents have in parenting is how much time should my children be in the digital world. So I want to quickly give that. The American Academy of Pediatrics has given us some great guidelines, and theirs are from 0 to age 2. They're saying 0 screen time. From the ages 3 to 5, 1 hour per day. And then the ages 6 to 12, 90 minutes per day. And then ages 13 to 19, 2 hours a day. Research tells us most kids are spending over 8 hours mm-hmm. a day. So these are experts that know a lot about mm-hmm. the impact of the digital world, and I think that's a really great place to start. But really, the burden comes back to the parents, and remember, their most powerful tool is their influence. Having good digital boundaries, these are my digital boundaries that I've come up with, and really sticking with those, because we are modeling that, and if we model good digital management to our children, there's a much higher chance that they in turn will have good, healthy digital lives.
Yeah, share yours with us.
Absolutely. So my first digital boundary is don't check my smartphone until after my morning devotions.
Amen.
A lot of people are checking their phones while they're still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Try to end my digital day by 10 p.m. Some people say 8 p.m. I have some friends that ended at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's my boundary. Don't check my smartphone when having lunch with a friend. Take regular digital fasts. So we mm-hmm. have a digital fast challenge we are asking people to take. Limit checking emails or texts to once an hour. Real people trump virtual people. And pray daily for God to help me become a good steward of my virtual life. Our virtual lives are not going away. Mm-hmm. They will always be with us. Technology will always be with us. But we can become a good steward of it, so it can bring glory to God.
Now, are those on your website?
They're in our book, and they're on our website. We also have family digital contracts on our website, a children's digital contract, a teenage digital contract, and then a family. And that's so important. Mm-hmm. This is really an age of opportunity for families to come together and say, you know, we're going to practice digital wellness together. This isn't just
yes.
a child's problem. It's not just a parent's problem. It's a family issue, mm-hmm. and you can really use that to bond you as a family.
Go to Dr. Sylvia Fried's website, thedigitalinvasion.com. And I have been so blessed by our interview, and I know that my listeners have been too, because this is a problem, and it can easily be solved by just taking a little bit of time, recognizing it, and taking steps to have balance in our lives.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Rose.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.